Like if everybody took that attitude. You know what I mean? It's you know, the world has gotten really crazy, and I'm not going to go into too much of this, but the what Pastor said about Sunday, you know, we have an issue that's, you know, happened close to home. Well, my wife and I found out Sunday afternoon after we left here that we actually know one of the family members of that situation that happened with the owners of the May Lee Donuts in Denham. We actually know somebody. You just never know people. You just never know. You know, it's very necessary to just stay in God, stay in the Word, stay in because you just never know what's around the next corner. What I want to share with you tonight is God actually laid this on my heart a while back, and I've just been soaking up His Word and just getting a deeper revelation of carnally minded or double-mindedness. You know, James talks about being do you know that double-mindedness is only in the book of James? And it's only in there's only two places in the book of James. It's in chapter 1, verse 8, and in chapter 4, verse 8. And chapter 1, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And if you flip over just a few pages, and Pastor says this all the time, James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, the word double-minded comes from the Greek word, and I hope I pronounced this right, dipsuchos, meaning a person with two minds or souls. It's interesting that this word appears only in the book of James. Bible scholars conclude that James might have coined this phrase to grasp the full meaning of the word, double-minded. You know, that being double-minded or being carnally minded, worldly minded, is something that we as Christians have to do our best to not be. We have to focus on the Word of God as much as we can. Because, you know, what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. But do you realize that in order to get it in your heart, it's got to have a gateway? And there's two gateways to everybody's heart: the eyes and the ears. Now, everything comes through the eyes and the ears and is processed by the mind, and then it finds a place to plant if you sow, and it plants in your heart. And then it comes out your mouth. Staying focused in the Word is what we need to do to protect ourselves from this. You know, it's interesting. I looked up a couple of different definitions of carnally minded and worldly or double minded. Webster says the definition of carnally minded is relating to or given to crude bodily pleasures or appetites. And I found this, I can't remember exactly where I found this, but it was in one of my, I have a couple of different Bible dictionaries that I look stuff up in to see what the meanings, what they, you know, their meaning is. And the term double-minded means two spirits, vacillating in opinion or purpose. Truly, there are many double-minded people in the world. Would you believe that? I mean, would you agree with that? That there are a lot of double-minded people in this world. They and unfortunately, we even find double-minded people in the church. Which, you know, the us in the church that have given our life to God, that trust Christ, we have to be of a different mindset. And I'm not talking about perfection. You know, Pastor always talks about that the Bible doesn't teach sinless perfection, and it doesn't. I mean, we're all human. We all have our own frailties, if you want to call them that. You know, you're not going to be sometimes we all need to think before we speak. The Bible talks about that too. You know. Sadly, however, many people are not prepared to believe God meant what he said what he meant. Therefore, they are not willing to take a stand for God on doctrine, principles, issues, or issues that are mentioned in Scripture. You know, I was sharing this with Brother Dennis before we started. You know, I absolutely firmly believe that it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what issue you have. Here's your answer. It don't matter. And we have got to be disciplined in our own study, in our own reading, to guard ourselves against being worldly minded. You know, we're supposed to live in this world and not be of this world. You know, because we all have responsibilities. We all have things that we have to do. You know, and it can be very hard to be in a situation and, well, I'll just share something that I'm going through right now. Some of y'all may know this, some of y'all may not know this. I've got a rental property in Baton Rouge, and I'm currently having to take legal action to get the renters out. I got into a discussion with one of them, and I'm going to tell you what, it took every single reliance upon God I had not to get back in the world when he got in my grill. I mean, I had to actually stand down a minute and think about not being worldly minded, about letting some of the fruits of the Spirit show through. And I'll tell you right now, I didn't do the greatest job in the world. I didn't sin, but I didn't do the greatest job in the world. You know, sometimes we do things, we say things, and then we think after it's over that I could have handled that better. And we probably could have handled that better. But like I said before, the Bible doesn't teach sinless perfection. You know, I am a human, very frail human, and the reality is that at some point in time, I'm not going to, you know, somebody's going to have an opinion of me because they're going to take something I said out of context. Yep. Or they're going to make it, they're going to turn it into what they want to believe I said, which is really not what I said. Yep. You know, but taking a stand and not backing down from that stand, developing the necessity, I'm sorry, developing the God consciousness within inside you and allowing it to control your mind is something that has to happen daily. You can't do tomorrow what God has given you for today. You got to get something new for tomorrow. For one reason or another, people would rather vacillate in their opinions and purposes without change rather than live according to solid, unmovable, unchangeable truths that are taught in the Bible. You know, we have to discipline ourselves, that each one of us in our own relationship with God have to discipline ourselves into understanding we are nobody. You know, I tell people this. A lot of y'all know I work with people that have codependency issues and stuff like that. And I tell people all the time who I believe are genuine in their trying to get past whatever they're trying to get past is I tell them you're nobody's doormat. You do not have to let somebody walk all over you and make you feel less than just because you're in a particular situation that is something they don't understand. You know, changing a mindset has to start with me. The way I perceive things, and I will tell you this, I absolutely believe that what I'm teaching tonight only works for the Christian. It only works for somebody who else besides a saved individual is even going to worry about reading this? I mean, it's not going to happen, in my opinion. Now, I've got some friends of mine that they don't do it so much anymore because I've started calling them out, but they would tell me I read the Bible all the time. I read the Bible every day. Well, what I started doing with a couple of them that I knew wouldn't get offended, I started saying, well, whereas I would say something like Proverbs 21:23, keep your mouth shut and you'll stay out of trouble. I wouldn't give them the chapter and verse. I'd just say the Bible says keep your mouth shut and you'll stay out of trouble, and I'm paraphrasing. I don't know exactly the way it is, but I'd say where is that in the Bible? And they'd go, isn't that in Luke? And I could tell immediately they weren't no more reading this Bible than flying a helicopter. Because it's mindset. It's what you want to do. God has a message for us that will help us to see that he does not approve of the one who is double-minded in their opinion and purpose, and that he is certainly not double-minded. Would you agree with me that God's not double-minded? Would you also agree with me that he's not going to hear the prayers of a double-minded man? You know, you can't. The Bible talks about, you know, Jesus said himself, I would rather you be hot or cold instead of lukewarm. I will spew you out of my mouth. You know, a double-minded individual, for whatever reason, will set their mind on the things of God. And unfortunately, this happens in a lot of churches. When they walk through that door, and any door, I don't care what door they walk, when they walk through that door, they're the absolute most spiritual person you'll ever see in your life on the outside. But as soon as they step out that door, you know, their spirituality moves out and Satan moves in. Because you can tell by their actions, by their words, you know, because it all comes through. Eventually, you're going to be found out. And I tell people all the time, you know, I try to be as upright and as honest and as forthcoming as I can possibly be, because God forbid somebody 15, 20 years from now picks that one thing that I did, and it's happened to me in the past, they'll pick that one negative from 20 years ago and they'll throw it up in my face. And I love what Pastor says, that's a praise report. If you got to go back 20 years and find some negative on me, that takes a lot of work, you know, to find that. Look at me, if you will, Romans chapter 8. Verse 6. We're going to start in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Rather, indeed, neither indeed can it be. So when they are in the flesh, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Focusing on the things of God or focusing on the things of this world. Now, I will tell you this, that it's, would you agree with me that it's easy to get caught up in the world and the things of the flesh? Would you agree with me that just because we may, for whatever reason, get mad or get upset about something and take hell out of contents, are we, you know, we might have just showed a little bit of negative Christianity, but does that mean that our walk with God is not where it's supposed to be? I don't think it does. Because if we're truly, the Bible doesn't teach sinless perfection. I'm a man. I'm made out of, I think scientists say the body's 90% water or 80% water or something like that. But I'm a fleshly man. What is man prone to do? Sin. And you're right, make mistakes and fail, yeah. And so, I love what Pastor Kevin says about, he was talking, I don't remember the exact same thing, he was only saved a couple of months, and he said some bad words or something, and immediately he got down and asked God to forgive him, and then asked the person that he was talking to forgive him. Well, you know, sometimes when we get in a situation, well, we let our mind get back in the world and we take hell out of contents, shouldn't we do the same thing? Oop, you know what? I'm sorry, God, I sinned. I made a, and then to whoever we're talking to, you know, say, look, I've got no excuses for that. You know, this is what I'm trying to do. And, you know, and it's about a growth process. But it takes a willingness to understand that we cannot completely get rid of our double-mindedness. I tell people I go to a treatment center every once in a while, and I talk to some of the patients, and I said, you are not going to stop drinking on your own. If you do not get a relationship with God, you are not going to stop drinking on your own. It's not going to happen. Because God has got to take the desire out of me. A lot of y'all don't know this, but I used to smoke. I smoked for 30 years. I started smoking when I was 8, and I quit when I was 38. I woke up one Sunday morning. I said, God, this has got to stop. I do not want this anymore. It wasn't instantaneous. He didn't just take it from me. But what he did do was he gave me grace to resist. Because every time I thought about it, I would say, no, God, I don't want this. I want you. I want something better. Two things were happening there. I was changing my habit, but you know what else I was changing? The mindset. The mindset.
But,
You do, and then you have, do. Would you agree that you have to take certain steps to achieve that? You know, there are certain things that we have to do as Christians, and there's certain things that we should be teaching our children, especially those. And I'm sure that we have all got children that are either never been saved or backslidden. You know, I got four kids, and they're all backslidden. You know. And at times when I start talking about changing their lifestyle, or they need to change their lifestyle and change their mindset, they call me a hypocrite, which is just, I mean, you've probably been called that by your kids.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to have to call you back. I got something to do. I told my wife, every time I start talking about God or telling you about things that you're doing that you need to change, you always got something to do. But that's okay. You can run, but you can't run for enough.
Hey, you know what that is, huh? That's conviction.
Conviction, yeah.
That's conviction.
And then my daughter finally said, okay, Mom, I'm going to tell you, I just don't want to put smoke right now. I said, there it is. I said, well, if you really wanted it and you trust God to do it, it would happen.
And the thing about the mind and not being worldly minded is, yeah, one of the things that I teach people all the time, and I'm not some weirdo, goofball, you know, whatever. But, you know, I'll tell y'all something. There's days I walked in that door in this church on a Wednesday or Sunday, and I would look at you, and you'd ask me how I'm doing, and I'd say I'm too blessed to be stressed, and it's a flat-out lie.
You'd be keeping your face on.
Because I know that it's not about me. It's about what God's trying to do in me. Because I want people to understand that the fruit of the Spirit is not controlled by me. It's controlled by God.
And if you say something there, they're going to take that
wrong. And because it's, you know, Pastor talks about feelings. God gave us feelings. But should we always trust our feelings? Should we let our feelings rule our life? I don't think so. I don't think so. So when we're thinking about things and we're doing stuff, the honesty that comes with one thing starts in your spirit, and then gets released into your body. And that's just my opinion. I don't have anything to back that up with. But I will tell you this, that the more I have told people I'm too blessed to be stressed, you know what God started doing to me? He started proving that. And I'm going to tell you how he started proving that. He started showing me people that have a lot less than me. And I'm not just talking about material. I saw a guy coming home from work. I believe it was a couple of weeks ago. I think it was on a Wednesday night. He was walking down Florida Boulevard on the service road over there by Big Lots. Only had one leg and was walking with crutches. He only had one leg. He had his pant leg pinned up. And you could tell he had lost his leg at the knee. And he's walking on crutches. And here I am with a sane mind driving a vehicle going about my business. I don't know where he was going. You know. But I've seen other things. When I start getting carnally minded and start thinking that I don't have whatever I don't have, for some reason God always brings somebody or something into my life. I've seen adults that have physical deformities. I've seen pastor. Look, every time I see pastor's granddaughter, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Look at what her parents have to go through. Look at what her grandparents have to, you know. And it just gives me there is a God.
Yeah.
you know, and to keep my mind focused on the things of the Spirit, not the things of the world, is a tough thing to do. I mean, it really is, because we're not perfect. We're just people. But having the ability to get in His Word and to understand absolutely nothing happens without Him. I believe that. Absolutely nothing happens in this world without God either allowing it or controlling it or something. You know, and it doesn't matter what it is. And I love what Pastor Kevin said. I don't remember, it was a couple of weeks ago or something. He was talking about the World Trade Center bombings. I think it was around the time of the anniversary. But, you know, God could have stopped that. He could have said, no, I'm not letting this happen. But because we have free will, He allowed that to happen. To see, and I think He allowed it to happen to see what we would do. Well, yeah.
You know, I got so now, whenever I do anything, I always say, what would Jesus do? Or would Jesus do this? And when I do that, I find myself making better choices.
Yeah, and exactly. And
better choices if you can, you know, consider Him first, talk to Him first. And I do it all the time. And I tell my children, I say, if you are unsure about something you're getting ready to do, ask yourself, would Jesus do this? I say, you know, if Jesus wouldn't do it, it's the wrong thing to do.
Well, yeah, and that,
it's simple to do that.
And it doesn't matter if you're talking about, you know, your thought life or your, you know, I was thinking about this, you know, thing with the people here in Denham Springs that got caught doing whatever it is they got caught doing. You know, I had a friend of mine that called me, and we would talk about that because we're mutual friends with one of the family members, and I said, you know, we don't know anything about that except what the news is reporting. You know, who are we to have any opinion on any of it? I have no opinion on none of it because I'm not involved in it. I don't know. Now, I will tell you this. I know a lot of parents in my neighborhood because I live just, could almost throw a rock to that donut shop. Pastor lives right behind it, or practically right behind it. But I know a lot of the parents in my neighborhood have pulled their kids in just a little bit closer because of it, you know, because you just never know. Those who are double-minded do not have the faith of the words spoken in Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to start in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtain good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things are seen were not made of things which do not appear. You know that the when you think of something, do we understand? I don't know how true this is, but I don't think I've heard Pastor Kevin say it, but I've heard somebody somewhere say it, that everything that has been or everything that is has already been. Or something to that effect. Nothing new, that's it. Nothing new under the sun. You know, so any thought we have, do you think it's an original thought?
Any thought we have?
Yeah.
Not every time.
There you go. See, and that's what, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. So that tells you that it's probably already been done, you know, at some point in time. Now, faith is being By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by at God's command, so that when we see was not made visible, we cannot be both certain and doubting. You know, that's another illustration of being double-minded. Everybody in this room absolutely has faith that one day Pastor's granddaughter is going to be healed. We have that faith. Have we seen it yet? Should we stop believing that it's going to happen?
No.
So there you go. You know, you can't judge something by something you haven't seen yet. And you got to be careful what you put in your mind, or it will trick you into believing something that's not true. A double-minded person is restless and confused in his thoughts, his actions, his behavior. Such a person is always in conflict with himself. One torn by such inner conflict can never lean with confidence on God and his gracious promises. The term unstable is ambiguous to a drunk man unable to walk a straight line. Have you ever seen, even on the TV, the show Cops? They'll stop somebody and they'll ask them to, you know, and the person is stumbling all over. They'll ask them to walk a straight line. And most of them can't, you know. I was watching an episode one time, and the individual that this police officer stopped, the police officer said, look, I want you to walk a straight line, heel to toe. He asked the police officer what a straight line was. I mean, where was his mind at? Yeah, but he was so consumed with alcohol that he couldn't think.
Right.
I mean, he couldn't think. He couldn't come up, you know. And you know, it is a danger to so fool ourselves that we think our thought pattern is always correct, which I don't think it is. You know, if you're basing it on the Word of God, then yeah, you can say it's correct. If you're basing it on the flesh or what you hear in the news or you know what your neighbor says, you might want to check it against the Word of God first. Swaying one way or the other, he has no definite direction. As the result, he doesn't get anywhere. You know, being straddling the fence or being a lukewarm Christian, not focusing on the things of God, keeping our mindset, having the mind of Christ. And I'm not, you know, talking about being silly, but you know, the look, when my kids were growing up, I used a whole bunch of different Bible verses to try to get them to understand that Proverbs 14:15 says I'm not going to try to quote it. I'm just going to read it. Give me 1 minute while I... Believe it or not, I had a lot of this stuff bookmarked, and I picked up my Bible, and all the bookmarks fell out. Maybe that was God telling me something. I don't know. Maybe it was. Could have been. Proverbs 14:15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. The simple, I'm going to read that again. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Now, what's that talking about? Double-mindedness. You know, Brother Larry, if I told you that was a Dr. Pepper, what would you tell me?
I'd tell you you're wrong.
Well, why? It's a Dr. Pepper.
Because it's water.
So what have I got?
Water.
But it, in my mind, what have...
You got a Dr. Pepper in your mind, but it's water.
But it's... So who am I fooling, you or me?
Yourself.
There you go. You know? And that's the thing that we have to realize. You know, I tell this to people all the time. People that I work with that have codependency issues. You can lie to yourself. I mean, I'm sorry, you can lie to me. You can lie to your mama. You can lie to your daddy. But you know who you can't lie to?
God.
And you can't lie to yourself. Because you know. Because God gave you a soul. He gave you a conscience. And you know when you're telling somebody a lie. Just like when I showed you that bottle of water and I told you it was a Dr. Pepper. I knew I was lying. I knew it. Because God gave me a conscience. And he gave me a soul. But you know what? So many people take that to such an extreme, they believe the lie. They believe the lie. And if we're not careful, we can let other people direct us in that same venue. And we can wind up in places we don't want to be, around people we don't want to be, thinking what we shouldn't be thinking. Let's look at Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. He will either hate one or love the other. Or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Would you believe that a carnally minded or worldly minded individual can have those thoughts and serve God? No, of course not. Because if your mind, and I'm not talking about not being responsible, so don't hear something I'm not saying, but if your mind is constantly on this world, what are you going to be consumed with? This world. That's why I believe that it's so important for prayer and to spend time alone with God and to get into his word. And look, let me tell you something. You don't always have to get down and pull your Bible out and read it. I listen to God's word. I work basically alone. I mean, I've got 15 other guys, but I operate a bandsaw all day long. One, I use the earphones for ear protection against all the noise, and I listen to the word because I've got my back to a wall, so there's nothing can go on behind me. And so I can see everything in front of me. So if something, you know, is going on, I'm aware of it. But I listen to the word of God because I want to get God in me and I want to get the world out of me. Right. And look, I don't care. Another thing I love that Pastor Kevin says all the time is, I don't care if you're the strongest Christian in this room or the weakest Christian in this room, you're a Christian.
Amen.
And how do we make ourselves stronger?
Staying
in the word. And like I said, don't hear me saying something I'm not saying. I'm not talking about not doing your responsibilities. You know, we all got to work and raise our family and go to school and do whatever else. But you know, here lately, and this may or may not change, I don't know, but a lot of my friends have questioned my decision to pull away from a lot of stuff. Because right now, when I'm not working, this is what I want to do. I've actually resigned off of some committees that I was a part of because it was taking too much of my time. I was sharing with, I think it was Sister Peggy before the service started this evening. I used to have 3 yards to cut. Now I've only got 2 because somebody else wanted to cut the other yard. You know, and it gives me more. And let me tell you something. I'm not in this 24/7, so don't even think about that. Okay, I work a secular job that I'm there 8-10 hours a day, and I have other responsibilities. But see, when I go home at night, after about 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, my wife and I have eaten dinner and we've, you know, communicated for a little bit. I go in my office and I get lost in this because I don't want to be a double-minded individual. I don't want to be somebody that is so consumed in this world that, you know, I mean, I will admit that I'm probably not the best example of a Christian, but I'm definitely not the worst. Me and a friend of mine, we both got saved about the same time. We've got a running little thing between us. I know just enough of the Bible to get me in trouble. That'll catch up with some of y'all after a while. And we're going to close here in just a few minutes. God and the things of this world are such opposite natures that it is impossible to love either one completely without hating the other. Those who try will become unstable in all their ways. God is a jealous God, and he will not accept a service that is divided with Satan. Would you agree with that? You know, the things of being an adult, the things of being a teenager, we all have different things pulling us in different directions. You know, I've got work and my wife and my grandkids. Brother Dylan, what's some of the things that you've got that pull you in? I know you got school, you got chores at the house, you like to play basketball, isn't it? So, you know, we've all got things that pull us in different directions. Where does the Word of God fall in that? Where does the Word of God fall in that? I'm gonna give a little, where are you at in your Bible reading? In the little thing that we started.
Numbers chapter 26.
So from Genesis to Numbers chapter 26. For those that might not know this, Pastor, a couple of months ago, whenever it was, told the youth that if you read the entire Bible, and there's no time limit, and it's on the honesty program, if you read the entire Bible, there's a $100 bill waiting on you. In your school and chores and playing basketball, you have found an area to do that. There you go. It doesn't matter when you do it.
Amen.
And that's probably the best time to do it because you put the Word of God in when you go to sleep. You got the Word of God. When you wake up in the morning, most of the time, you probably got God's Word on your mind when you wake up in the morning. You know, I didn't even get halfway through this, but we'll keep it for another time. I'm going to tell you what, I absolutely 100% believe what Pastor Kevin says all the time. You cannot exhaust this. You cannot. I don't care what subject matter you pick to think about or to read on. Because, look, the one thing I've learned in my short 12 years of reading this book, one scripture leads to another, which leads to another, which leads to another, and so forth and so on, and you're just not going to exhaust it. I think we're done. Can we pray before we leave? You want to close out? Come on.